While this motion picture is based on real events, certain incidents and characters are composites, and dialogue has been dramatized. So there. Rows of old film studio buildings reflected in a shiny gold surface. As the surface turns, it's revealed to be the edge of a shield with the letters WB in its center on a blue background. Warner Brothers Pictures. A Time Warner company. Blurry letters gradually move into focus. Participant Media. Silhouetted figures stand beneath a row of trees. Groundswell Productions. Someone opens a briefcase and takes out a small reel-to-reel tape recorder. They feed audio tape from one reel through the tape heads and onto the second reel. The reels slowly turn as the tape records and the person makes notes. Warner Brothers Pictures presents, in association with Participant Media and Groundswell Productions, a Section 8 Jaffe Braunstein Enterprise. Matt Damon in The Informant. Also starring Scott Bakula, Joel McHale, Melanie Lynskey, with Rick Overton, Tom Papa, Tom Wilson, Clancy Brown, Tony Hale, Anne Cusack, Alan Havey, Rusty Schwimmer. Co-producer Michael Polaire. Casting by Carmen Cuba. Music by Marvin Hamlisch. Costume design by Shoshana Rubin. Edited by Stephen Mirione, ACE. Production design by Doug Meerdink. Director of Photography, Peter Andrews. Executive producers, George Clooney, Jeff Scholl, Michael London. Based on the book, The Informant, a true story by Kurt Eichenwald. Produced by Gregory Jacobs, Jennifer Fox. Produced by Michael Jaffe, Howard Braunstein, Kurt Eichenwald. Screenplay by Scott Z. Burns. Directed by Steven Soderbergh. The person puts the tape recorder back in the case and walks off with it. Mark Whittaker, a man in his 30s, drives to work with his son Alexander.
You know that orange juice you have every morning? You know what's in that? Corn. And you know what's in the maple syrup you put on your pancakes? You know what makes it taste so good? Corn. And when you're good and help with the trash, you know what makes the big green bags biodegradable?
Do you?
Uh-huh, corn.
About corn starch. But Daddy's company didn't come up with that one. DuPont did.
Mark, who has a moustache and wears glasses, speeds past cornfields in his red Porsche.
Porsche or Porsche? I've heard it both ways. 3 years in Germany, I should know that. What's the German word for corn? The word in German I really like is Kugelschreiber. That's pen. All those syllables just for pen.
He drives up to a factory with ADM written on the side.
Archer Daniels Midland. Most people have never heard of us. But chances are they've never had a meal we're not a part of. Just read the side of the package. That's us. Now ADM is taking the dextrose from the corn and turning it into an amino acid called lysine. It's all very scientific, but if you're a stockholder, all that matters is that corn goes in one end and profit comes out the other. We've got the largest lysine plant in the world here. That's where I come in.
Hey, Kirk.
Mark.
When are we going to get out there and hit some balls?
When he's hungry.
What do they pay Kirk? What does a guy like that get? I bet he gets $100,000. He's just going to sit behind that desk and ride it into the future.
Good morning.
Decatur, Illinois, October 1992. Mark sits in his office. His buxom secretary, Liz, comes in with some paperwork.
Morning, Mark.
Morning.
They have lasting results.
Mark, an average-looking man with neat brown hair in a side parting, looks at columns of figures. The last two are in red. Liz takes a tissue from inside her blouse and wipes her nose. Mark looks up at her and smiles.
Great.
Mark walks through the factory with a foreman.
We adjusted the dextrose levels again, but the virus keeps showing up. I thought we had it surrounded this time. We started a new set of cultures.
We'll get it. We just have to stay after it. I mean, the things eat sugar, and that's what we're giving them, a warm place filled with sugar.
In a meeting room.
The fucking thing is supposed to produce 113,000 tons annually. We're not going to get anywhere close to that. We've got over $150 million in costs over there, guys.
Well, the Japanese have these kind of problems with lysine?
I don't give a shit about the Japanese. You've just got to get the goddamn lysine bugs to eat some dextrose and shit us out some money.
We're still having problems with this virus.
You know, I don't want to hear about the virus anymore. Terry, how much are we losing a month?
We are down like 7 million per.
That's not going to fly much longer. You want to go in there next month? Tell my father we're sucking the hind tit on this? I sure don't. We're number 44 on the Fortune 500 list, Mark. I don't want this turning us into number 45. Fix it.
At home.
You feed a chicken a diet of corn and it gets sick. Like what happened to the first settlers. Pellagra disease, niacin deficiency. Gave them all sorts of problems. Dermatitis, ataxia, even dementia. But you feed a chicken corn and lysine and it goes from egg to supermarket fryer in 6 months instead of eight.
Mark?
Mark stares at his dinner.
Where are you?
Mark smiles and starts to eat.
Hey, you look great. Oh.
Hey, they got the first wall of the stables up today. You see that?
Oh, you know, they're doing a new thing in hydroponics. They're now feeding lysine to the jumbo shrimp. Yeah, can you imagine that? You're a jumbo shrimp, and one day some corn goes floating by. What do you think about that?
Alexander grins.
Weird, right? Hey, you know, there's an opening down in the plant in Mexico. They might need me to go down and set some stuff up. Oh. What do you think about Mexico?
I thought we were getting horses.
Smoke billows from factory chimneys.
Toro. That's what the Spanish bullfighters say. But it's also what the Japanese call the high-end tuna sushi, Toro. Raw fish. Who went first on that one? The guy without the grill. I've been to Tokyo. They sell little girl underwear in the vending machines right on the main drag, the Ginza, or whatever. Guys in suits buying used girl panties. How is that okay? That's not okay.
Yeah.
There's a Mr. Nakawara calling from the Ajinomoto Corporation. He says you know him, and he needs to speak with you.
Yeah, put him through.
It's the Japanese. There's this guy, Nakawara. He works at Ajinomoto. He was here a couple weeks ago. You met him. Now, I've been talking to him on the phone, sometimes at work, but sometimes from home because of, you know, the time difference. Mick, this guy knew everything. Everything. He says to me, hey, you know that total nightmare you guys had, May, June, July? Before I can ask him what he's talking about, he goes, no, you know what I mean. Those months when ADM was losing $7 million a month in the lysine business? I mean, Mick, I couldn't believe it. He goes on to tell me that one of our highest paid employees is actually an employee of Ajinomoto who is sabotaging the plant. They're injecting a virus into the dextrose and contaminating the whole deal. That's the problem. I'm telling you, Mick, it's like Rising Sun. It's like the Crichton novel. It's just like that. So I go, why are you talking to me about this? You know what he says?
Yeah, I know what he says. How much does he want?
$10 million. $10 million, but that gives you the identity of the saboteur, the secret identity, and a new lysine bug that is immune to the virus. We have the plant up and running in 3 days.
How well do you know this guy?
I met him when he was here, you know, we've spoken on the phone half a dozen times.
So not very well?
Very well? No, I wouldn't say that.
If you hear from him again, talk him down on the price. I want you to find out the least amount of money he'd settle for. I mean, if we can get a bug that's resistant to the virus, this might be worth it. But I want you to keep this secret. If there is a mole, I don't want him to know that we're onto him.
Absolutely.
Evening, Mark stands staring at a large timber-framed building.
This would be a great place for some outlet stores. People would come from all over southern Illinois, probably Missouri, too. Famous name-brand labels and appliances at savings of up to 50% every day. Maybe a food court with a Mexican place. The birds eat the bugs, the cars eat the birds, the rust eats the cars, and the new construction eats the rust.
At work, Mark and middle-aged, grey-haired Mark Chevron sit facing Mick in his office.
The FBI?
Mick nods.
God, no. I thought you wanted me to talk him down on the price. That's what you told me to do, and I was doing it.
Well, we're not going to sit back and let the Japanese fuck us sideways on this.
I don't even understand. We weren't going to mention it, and now he's in on it?
Well, of course he's in on it. If there's a mole, it's a security issue.
I'll be sitting in with the FBI.
I already told you everything there is to tell. I mean, what is the point?
Mark, calm down, all right? We don't like the idea of talking to the FBI any more than you do. We're just going to tape the guy's calls, ask you a few questions, and no big deal.
Questions?
Mark raises his eyebrows at Mick.
Jesus.
Mark walks out.
Mark.
The FBI? Why do you have to talk to the FBI? It's their plant. Just let them talk to the FBI.
Baby, I am really uncomfortable with this. There's some things that are going on here.
What does that mean, things?
It means that we have to be careful.
Whatever you do, Corky, no matter what's going on, just be honest with them and tell them the truth, okay?
He said he wanted the money wired into a numbered account in Switzerland and then also in the Caribbean.
The FBI agent makes notes.
And when did you last have contact with him?
2 days ago. But I think he's getting suspicious. I haven't been dragging this thing along. I think if we don't make a move, I mean, he could already have backed down here.
And these calls, they've been coming in on your home line?
Mark looks at Chevron.
Well, I have an ADM line at my house. It's a business line. I've been coming in the business line.
Well, I think we should start with putting a recording device on your phone.
There's a sale at Bacharach's. They have those Oscar de la Renta ties that nobody buys. What are they, 2 for 1 for another week? Diagonal bands of color hanging around your neck. They never put the nice Brioni ties on sale. I should just get all my ties in Paris, wear them once or twice, and shove them in a duty-free bag. Nobody gets stopped at customs for ties.
I can help with that.
So, that's it then. I can go?
Listen, why don't...
The agent hands Mark a card.
I'd like to come out tomorrow. Get on that phone.
Great. No problem. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mark slings his suit jacket over his shoulder and leaves the meeting room. At home, he drives into a double garage. In the hall, Ginger, Mark's pretty brunette wife, gives him a hug.
You told the truth, Mark. That's all you can do.
I never even had the chance. They were watching me the whole time.
Ginger gives him an inquiring look.
Chevron was in the room.
She turns and walks away. At work, Mark walks through the busy open-plan office.
Mick Andreas gets born with the Vice President of the United States as his godfather. He goes to Richard Nixon's house for Thanksgiving. It's not like his parents died in a car accident when he was 3 and he ended up in an orphanage. Hey, Mick's dad wrote a check to the Nixon campaign and it wound up in the bank account of the Watergate burglars. Did he admit it? I don't think so. Besides, ADM probably owns the FBI. They probably wanted me to move into Duane's old house when I took this job because they got it wired like in a Crichton novel.
Marty Allison called. And Sid Hulse wants to know if you can have dinner at 7 instead of 7:30.
Mark and Ginger have dinner with Sid Hulse, a bald man in his 40s. As they chat, Mark secretly hands Ginger a card with "The FBI is coming at 10 p.m. written on it.
Great earrings, Ginger. Bet you can see those shining from space.
Mark got them abroad. I can't remember where.
Nigeria? Not funny, Sid. You're telling me. So, Sid, you're off tomorrow? Where to?
West Coast Swing. Gotta get out there, kick some Japanese butt.
So I'm not gonna see you for a couple weeks?
Maybe longer if I get lost in the Ginza.
Have a great trip, Sid.
Ginger nervously sips her wine. At home...
Just tell them everything. We'll leave. I don't like what this company is doing to you. This is a chance to start somewhere new. Remember you said Mexico?
I may tell them at some point, but now I gotta toe the company line here.
Mark, if you don't tell them, I will.
I can't. Not now.
Mark opens the front door to suave, middle-aged FBI agent Brian Shepherd.
Hello. Please. Agent Shepherd, my wife Ginger.
Ma'am, I know it's late. I'll be out of your hair in a minute.
Great. Maybe a cup of coffee for Agent Shepherd?
Okay.
She reluctantly goes.
Just show me where the line in question...
It's that one over there.
There should be a TV show about a guy who calls home one day and he's there. He answers. He's talking to himself, only it's someone else.
He's somehow divided into two, and the second one of him drives away, and the rest of the show is about him trying to find the guy.
I'll give you a call tomorrow. We can test it out.
Great, great, okay. Thank you for coming by.
Good night. Good night, Miss Whittaker.
Good night.
Mark and Ginger watch Agent Shepard walk to his car.
Are you going to say something, or am I?
Nope. Ginger steps out onto the porch.
Brian?
Hey, got a minute?
Mark walks over to Brian, who's standing by his open car door. Mark glances at Ginger.
Can I talk to you in the car?
Sure.
Mark walks round and gets in the passenger seat. Brian gets in the driver's seat. Ginger goes indoors.
We could go back inside if you want.
I think they might have it bugged. We're safer out here.
Bugged? What? Who? Us?
All right, there's things I know. If I decide to tell you, could I be prosecuted?
No, I cannot provide you with immunity, but any information you tell me about your involvement in criminal activity would be discussed in a favorable light with the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Okay, everything I told you yesterday about Nakawara was true, absolutely. Except one thing. He never called me on my business line.
Well, why did you tell me that he did?
Before I spoke with you yesterday, I was coached by the guys at ADM to tell you that he called me on my business line and not my home line.
Why?
What I'm about to tell you, it involves something very large. This Nakawara extortion thing is nothing compared to it, nothing at all. This involves price fixing in the lysine business. Now,
wait.
Brian grabs a briefcase from the back and takes out a notepad and pen.
Price-fixing in the lysine business. Now, I have been in several meetings with our Japanese and Korean competitors over the last few months where the sole purpose was to fix the prices. ADM made me go to those meetings. See, that's why they wanted me to lie. Because the Nakawara calls came in on my home line, but so did the calls from the people we're fixing prices with. They don't want you to hear those conversations, so they instructed me to tell you that the Nakawara calls came in on my ADM line. But see, I realized that once you guys started digging around in the records, you'd see that I have all these calls to Japan, right? That's what scared me. Nobody's got more calls than me. So if you figure out the price-fixing thing, I'd be the fall guy.
Who told you to participate in these price-fixing talks?
Mark looks into the distance.
I'm operating under the direction of Mick and Dwayne Andreas.
As Mark walks back to the house, Brian starts his car, turns on the lights, and drives away. Mark watches from the porch.
He seems like a real good guy. I hope he doesn't mind me calling him Brian instead of Agent Shepard. I might even try Bri out. This must be very different for him, talking to a guy like me instead of a bank robber or a drug dealer. I could see us fishing or whatever. What a good listener. You don't meet one of those every day.
He goes indoors. At work, he walks through the open plan office.
Morning.
He wears a brown coat over his suit and carries a briefcase. He walks past workers sitting at computers and heads to his office. In his glass-walled office, Mark puts down his case and hangs up his coat. As he carries his case over to his desk, Mark Chevron looks in.
Morning. What happened last night?
What do you mean? Nothing. They put a recorder on the phone.
That's it?
Well, yeah. We said when Nakawara calls, like, just flip a switch and record the conversation. Yeah. Oh, put her through.
Make sure you do it, okay? They have ways of checking up.
Sure thing. Hi, honey. What? Slow down, honey. Slow. What?
He grabs a pad and a pen.
Hey.
He writes, Regina.
What?
Springfield, Illinois.
A pound of bacon, a peanut butter sandwich, some vitamins.
An FBI field office.
Anything that ADM has a hand in, it's all fixed. That's what he's telling me. I mean, basically, I mean, Everyone in this country is a victim of corporate crime by the time they finish breakfast.
You think the automobile companies can't make a car tomorrow that gets 100 miles to the gallon? You think the TV networks don't know who's going to win the World Series before the season starts? Paranoid is what people who are trying to take advantage call you in an effort to get you to drop your guard. I read that the other day in an in-flight magazine.
One potential problem I see moving ahead with ADM is this guy, Chevron. He wants to be kept in on the loop on everything that we're doing.
Supervisor Dean Paisley looks up at Brian, who stands holding his notebook.
I want to meet Mark Whitaker.
Chevron's office.
You said they were only going to tap one line. One line!
They are only monitoring one line.
That is not true. That is absolutely not true. I just got off the phone with my wife, and some woman named Regina at the phone company called her and said that both my lines are tapped. My home phone!
Come on, Mark, the phone company doesn't call people and say, hello, we just wanted to let you know that the FBI is tapping your phone lines.
Then why would Regina say that?
She didn't say it. You're saying it.
Call my wife. Call Regina.
Fine, Mark. I will. Right, I will.
Good.
Mark marches through the main office with a face like thunder. He passes a woman wearing a dark brown sweater.
I don't like wool on skin. Not even that merino wool they have at Marshall Field in Chicago. Ginger likes it because it's form-fitting, but she likes avocados, and who wants that texture in their mouth? Who would make up someone named Regina? It's the capital of Saskatchewan.
Brian sits in his office reading a book.
FBI Shepherd.
Hello, Brian, it's Mark Chevron at ADM.
Yeah, Mark.
Hey, I was talking to you guys a couple days ago about which of the lines at Mark Whitaker's house you would be monitoring, and we had agreed it would only be the business line, so that's all you did, right?
I really can't answer that.
Okay. Thank you.
Chevron winces slightly as he hangs up. He and Mick Andreas head over to Mark's office. Mark watches them approach through the window. They walk in and Chevron shuts the door.
We've decided we will no longer be cooperating with any further FBI requests.
I knew it! I knew it! And I told you, and you wouldn't listen. You said just the office line, Mark.
Evidently, they were lying to us, too.
Well, evidently, you can't keep track of what the FBI's doing. Yeah.
The call you were expecting, Mark?
Well, put them through. It's a Swedish deal I'm working on. Mark Whitaker.
Hey, Mark, it's Brian Shepherd.
Well, I told Shepherd we're done working with him as of now.
Hi, so damn good to right. Hear from you.
Listen, I want to bring my supervisor by to meet you. This weekend be okay?
Well, great. So Mr. Andreas is in my office right now.
Okay.
So I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Good. Now, what do I do if this Shepherd guy calls?
You let me know about it, and I'll tell my dad. But you're done talking to him.
Absolutely.
Ginger's in the garden with Alexander and his older brother, Billy.
Okay, guys, I'm going to go over the rules. There's no running, no pushing, no horseplay by the pool. And when you have fished all the leaves out, you go into the garage and get the cover for the pool. And I'm going to go get your dad when he's done. He's going to come and do an inspection. What was that?
You already told us this.
I know.
In the games room next to the garage.
Now, what is the scoop with all my phones being tapped?
The only listening device was the recorder, Mark.
We had a trap and trace device on your home line, but we can't listen in on that.
However, the phone company calling your wife and telling her about her intel gathering, well, my face is red on that one. Shouldn't happen.
Did you bring the expense reports we talked about?
Yeah.
Mark opens his case.
Okay, this is Mexico City, Paris, Hong Kong, Tokyo. Now, there was a meeting of the Corn Refiners Association in Florida last week. Mick and Terry went to that one. They were doing the regular meeting during the day, and then at night, they'd get together with our competitors, and they'd all work out how to fix the prices. Now, you just watch. In about 6 months, the price of a liter of soda pop is going to be about 5 cents more.
Well, when's the next meeting?
January, somewhere in Asia.
Mark, I got to ask you, why are you doing this? We know you lied to us about the phone line. You're afraid of that. But now, you're telling us all this other stuff out of the blue. Gotta ask you why.
Because things are going on I don't approve of.
I'm a biochemist. Yeah, a technical guy. And they pull me into the business side, and suddenly I find out all these things are going on that are illegal. You know, if I want to grow with ADM, I got to learn the business side. And so suddenly I'm lying to people. They're making me lie to people. I lie to you. I mean, I feel real bad about that.
You look at yourself as wearing a white hat and they're wearing black hats?
Yeah, absolutely. Something like that. You know, when I was a kid, my folks died in an automobile accident. I was maybe 6 years old, and a wealthy man from Ohio adopted me. Guy owned amusement parks. He did very well for himself. Now, I caught a big break there, real big break. I went to a good school and all. Now, I adopted two kids of my own. I'm trying to do the right thing here.
Well, Mark, do you think you'd be willing to go a few steps further in helping us?
What does that mean?
Would you...
Brian grabs a device.
Be willing to wear a wire. We don't have any other sources at this time. We need your help.
We'll be there with you all the way. It won't be easy.
I'll use my beeper to signal you when it's time to set up a meeting. When you hear this, all right, you call me.
At the FBI field office.
He's watched closely at work, and there's reason to believe that ADM has bugged his home. He's under a great deal of pressure. I mean, you got a feel for the guy. He tells us the truth one day and wakes up the next with two lives instead of one.
Well, the good news is he decided to wake up and tell the truth.
Mark stands in a corridor overlooking a swimming pool.
There are these butterflies in Central America. They're blue and orange and yellow, and they have poison in their wings. Just enough poison to stop a bird heart. But the birds know this somehow, so they don't eat them. But there are other ones, butterflies. They're orange, blue, and yellow, too. But no poison wings. They're just flying around looking dangerous, getting by on their looks.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Brian.
Ready to make the call?
Brian leads Mark over to a payphone. As some kids run past, Mark looks at Brian anxiously.
Hey, what up, dipshit?
Want to do it here?
Brian takes a recording device from his briefcase.
We can't get a room. There's problems with that.
I don't know. It just kind of seems, you know, awkward.
It's the best I can do right now.
Okay.
Just, hold the microphone against the receiver, and I'll hold the recorder.
009-454-58822. Thank you.
Mark holds the microphone to the mouthpiece.
On the receiver.
Mr. Yamamoto, please.
The receiver. Will you hear?
Mark repositions the microphone on the earpiece.
I'm on hold.
Brian gestures for Mark to shush and picks up the neighboring phone.
Hello, Mr. Yamamoto. It is Mark Whitaker. Hi, sir. How are you? No, I'm doing a lot of traveling this week. A lot of traveling. How are sales? Certainly, we need to, in terms of our big customers, we definitely need to be thinking about a good price, yes?
It's better to maintain a price of $2.50 in other countries and $1.05 in the United States. And just like that, there it is, price fixing.
Well, this is great, Mark. This verifies everything you've been saying.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mark walks off.
I like an indoor pool. Year-round usage. I like the steam off it in the winter. Very mysterious, that steam.
How are you?
Mark has lunch with a colleague.
When you started to work at ADM, mm-hmm. How much money did you want?
I wanted 50 grand.
But I went and told Jerry, we can't get this guy for less than 75.
Yeah, I got it for you.
I know.
You're the first person I hired.
I know, Mark. You've always been really generous with me.
Okay.
And I appreciate it.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down a name.
Okay.
What's the name?
Marty takes out a pen.
Nordkron Kemi.
What is that, like a Nigerian name or something?
I like my hands. I think they're probably my favorite part of my body. I think that can be used to my advantage in social situations. If I can get people focused on my hands, then I can get a good result in the meeting. Eye contact is real important, too.
Hey, I'm going to check messages.
You have one message.
Sorry, guys, my phone died. I was on with the plant. Is there a payphone, a public...
Across the lobby.
All right, okay.
Hey, come on, Mark. This is important bioproduct stuff.
I know, I got... Right? Hey, hi, Dave. How you doing? How's Holly doing?
She's good.
Great. It's the plant.
FBI.
Brian, it's Mark. I told you I'm out of town on business this week.
The case is getting some attention from the Bureau, Mark. There's another agent working with me now.
Look, I can't talk right now. I gotta go. I have a meeting. I have people waiting for me. Bye.
Mark follows his colleagues.
Being able to do two things at once is a big part of success. I try and do abdominal exercises, isometrics, even when I'm at a meeting. Tensing, holding, and then releasing. I'll even floss in the shower while the conditioner is in my hair, during the part when you're just supposed to leave it in. Those things can really add up to a significant time savings.
Hey, Kirk. I'd be heading off to Europe, and I was thinking I could just hand deliver that check for the ABP deal in person.
Remind me, ABP deal?
It's a threonine microbe. They're just making substantial improvements. We want to get into the market. That's the invoice.
Well, we'll just overnight it.
No, I'm going to see this Thorstensen guy, so I'll just hand it to him.
Zurich. Mark walks down a street on the way to a meeting.
The metric system never panned out. We all had rulers with inches on one edge and centimeters on the other. I pronounced it centimeters instead of centimeters, and nobody ever corrected me. They just let me walk around stupid, so I'm not really upset we never crossed over. Although it's helpful to know the conversions when I go to Europe. The liter bottle is the only thing that ever caught on, because it's a nicer word, liter, than quart. Quart. Quart.
Hey, Mark, it's Marty calling again.
Message deleted.
Mexico City, December 1992. Mark calls Brian from a payphone.
FBI, Agent Shepard.
Brian, it's Mark. Look, it's been hard for me to return a page as I am out of the country at the moment.
Listen, we need to know if you've had any further contact with Nakawara.
I told you already that the guy stopped calling.
Well, what about the price fixing?
Have you been able to make any more tapes?
I think you guys hanging around has everybody scared straight. The word is we're doing everything by the book from now on. Mick said it's over. No more price fixing.
What? When did this happen, this conversation?
Everything has changed. I got lysine up and running. The virus is gone.
Mick brought me into his office. He sat me down. He said, Whitaker, from now on, we're doing things your way.
Mark.
Mark, the FBI knows about the crimes. We're going to investigate either way.
Either way? What does either way mean?
We really need to get together.
It is a different approach there now. I'm telling you, it's all...
Everything's changed.
Ah, my plane is boarding. I gotta go. Ah.
In the airport lounge, Mark sits opposite a middle-aged businessman, Richter, who's looking at some papers.
Everything okay?
Yeah, fine. Kids. Das Kinder.
Die Kinder.
Where were we?
We were discussing bonuses.
And we should be discussing Ferraris.
Füllfederhaltertinte. You got Füllfederhaltertinte all over your shirt.
A black ink stain.
Ow.
One of the Japanese guys told me a story. This lysine salesman is in a meeting with someone from ConAgra or some other company, I don't know. And the client leans forward and says, I have the same tie as you, only the pattern is reversed. And then he drops dead, face down on the table. Alive and then dead. Brain aneurysm. Maybe everyone has a sentence like that. A little time bomb. I have the same tie as you, only the pattern's reversed. Dead. The last thing they'll ever say. Something like...
High fructose corn syrup. There it is again.
He said that Andreas called him into a marketing meeting. He might be late.
Yeah, if he doesn't show, the government will charge him for the room.
Brian and Agent Bob Herndon are in a hotel room.
And here it comes.
Brian picks up a pad and pen and takes the call. Mark's phoning from a car.
Shepard.
I can't come to the hotel tonight. I'm still at work.
Mark, this is the third time.
Look, I gotta go. I have work to do.
Mark, you can't keep canceling.
Look, I can't live two lives. They just offered me a $100,000 raise, okay? I'm not gonna lose my job because of you guys. I have a family. I'm building stables across the road.
But you told us.
The price fixing is over. It's over. Hey, Mick. How you doing? I'm getting off the phone now.
Mark, listen to me. The only logical thing for you to do is cooperate.
What happens if I don't?
Then somebody else will, and you'll end up being a defendant.
The tapes don't say anything, because it's over. Mick said we have a whole new policy.
Fine, if that's what he said. Then I want to hear the tape. We need tapes, Mark.
Okay, I never made any tapes.
Mark, I
never made any tapes because there's not going to be anything on the tapes because it's over and they just be stupid tapes.
Mark, come on.
Look, how you tell me how I can prove it to you and I will.
Mark sits in a chair. He has sensors strapped across his chest and on his fingers. Beside him is a polygraph machine. Next to several rows of switches, a paper display has four fine styluses resting on it. The styluses trace fine lines along the paper as it slowly feeds out of the machine. Brian and a tech guy sit watching the polygraph machine as Bob asks Mark questions. Mark glances at the machine. Brian and Bob step out of the room. They stare at each other, grave-faced. Mark looks out of the window at three men outside. It's snowing.
Mick Andreas and his dad would never lie for me. They say we're in it together. What a joke. Team-building off-site meetings at some lake in Wisconsin. I can't protect these guys if they're breaking the law. Hey, I tried. Anybody could see the choices I had. I did my best for ADM. You don't see them here in the chair.
Hey, how'd I do?
Mark, we have some problems.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I was looking at the thing. The needle didn't even move.
Mark, you don't know how to read a polygraph.
Well, first of all, they're not 100% accurate.
Mark,
I've read
you
that.
Splattered the walls with ink. Come on now, extortionists just don't leave their name and number and then go away.
I know it's tough keeping it all bottled up inside, keeping it a secret. But there's only one good choice for you here. That's all there's ever been. There's something you're hiding, something you're not telling us. But the only way to protect yourself is to be completely honest.
Brian, who has a handsome, craggy face and neat, dark brown hair, stares at Mark intensely. Mark slowly turns to face him.
Okay. Okay.
Brian sits and takes his notepad and pen from his case.
You realize that this can all be used against you in a court of law. And I'll have to write it all up, and you'll have to sign it.
We're going to find out what's going on, Mark. You're not leaving this room until you tell us what's going on.
So, before you answer any more questions, I want you to think about Ginger and your family and your career.
Mark paces.
What happened with Nakawara? Is there a mole?
Well, yeah, I think there was definitely been a mole before at ADM.
Bob looks down at Mark incredulously. Mark looks down.
I made it up.
Jesus, Mark!
I had to. Look, we've had problems with viruses at the plant, and we're way behind our projections, and Dwayne is thinking about shutting us down, and everybody's looking to me to fix it. I mean, it's all blame it on Whitaker. That's how it is over there. We're talking about my job here. I came all the way over from Europe, relocated my family. They made me a VP.
What about the price fixing? It isn't over, is it? I mean, there's no new attitude, right?
It's been going on as recently as 3 weeks ago. Nothing's changed. I mean, it's not just lysine. It's citric. It's gluconate. There was a guy who left the company because he wouldn't do it. He was forced out. The gluconate guy. He's out of a job. I mean, I met with the guys from Ajinomoto just last month in Chicago. The whole point was to actually set volume levels, which you set the volume levels. You determine what the market is, and then you figure out workable prices. We got another meeting next month.
Brian looks up from his notes.
If there's anything else you want to add, now's the time.
What else is there?
Mark stares at Brian, who lets his shoulders sag. Mark walks up to the modern square ADM building carrying his briefcase. Looking down slightly, he talks into a hidden tape recorder.
7:30 a.m., March 17th, 1993. I have parked the car. I am approaching the entrance to the office.
He walks in.
Entrance breached.
Terrence Wilson, president of our corn businesses. Did our friend from Japan call last night?
No, he wasn't in.
Well, I spoke with Momoto, and he is pissed. He says there will be no peace in Lysine until we bring production down to the levels we promised.
Well, in 92, we did exactly what we told him we would do in terms of volume. Exactly. Now, no promise.
Well, he says he wants to talk to you.
Yeah, well, I'll be right there looking at him, saying, you listen here, you little mousy motherfucker.
Terry lopes off. Mark smiles to himself.
That was Terry Wilson talking about setting volume and price levels with our Japanese competitor, Ajinomoto Corporation. By the way, there was no discussion with Momoto last night. I did that for illustration purposes only. I repeat, no discussion with Momoto.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Liz Taylor, secretary.
The futuristic high-rise skyline of Tokyo. Mark and Terry go to a meeting with a group of businessmen.
Please.
Hello, good morning. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Good morning.
Before we even deal with Latin America, we have to agree that we are going to swap numbers. It's the only way this is going to work. Keep everybody on target. It's possible to do. Got to be very careful. Need to check your phones.
Excuse me, I need a comfort break. Pardon me.
Mark walks through a glass door and darts to the toilet where he checks under the sink. He speaks into the tape recorder hidden inside his jacket.
Side two, tape one. Side two, tape one. I've got well over 2 million frequent flyer miles. I'm pretty much platinum across the board. I get a letter from the CEO every year thanking me. It's a form letter, but it looks like he's really signing it. They probably walk in one day and he signs like 100 while he's on the phone.
Paris, October 1993. On the phone.
Oh, it went great. I think we're going to be able to keep it at a buck and a quarter.
Making notes, Brian sneezes.
Now what happens? Something you breathe in on an airplane. Some little bacteria, and now it's in his hands, the cup, the phone. Probably got it from his kids, and now I'll spend the weekend with it in bed. And I'll miss a few days next week, or Alexander will run a fever, and who pays for that? Where does the FBI weigh in on that as a cooperating witness? What does it say about exposure to airborne contaminants? Tape 7, side 2, Chicago O'Hare. Once again, Terry Wilson, representing ADM. Representing Urolysine, Alain Ruet, and Philippe Royer. That's a French company.
Sitting in a toilet cubicle, Mark zips his tape recorder into a folder. He looks down and sees ants scurrying around a boiled sweet on the floor.
That's a big break, right there. Absolutely. There's no choices to be made, no debate. You're an ant, you just eat it.
A restaurant.
Part of the world where it works, and the rest of the world where it doesn't. It will not last.
Terry, Alain Philippe.
Bonjour.
Hi. We obviously will play the game. But the Korean and the Japanese...
They cheat.
Then it won't work.
Well, you make it work in the other divisions. Tell him. Terry doesn't like me very much. He's got blotchy skin. What causes that blotchiness? It must mean something medical. He'll have a stroke and someone will say, he was blotchy, it happens.
Let's not forget that if prices went up in Europe, it's because we talked in Mexico first.
That's right. You made it happen.
It was our pleasure.
In a hotel room...
Mark, these are just the kind of tapes we need. And we're getting our marching orders from Andreas. See? Goes right to the top.
We need to improve the quality of these recordings.
Mark drives up to his house. His gardener, Rusty, is using a leaf blower.
Hey, Rusty.
Hey.
Take a look at some.
His red leather briefcase.
What do you think?
It's a nice briefcase.
But wait.
Mark opens it.
There's more.
He pulls up a flap, revealing a device strapped into the lid.
That is a Nagra SN. Had the Bureau custom make it for me. Mark Whitaker, secret agent 0014.
He smiles.
Why 0014? Because I'm twice as smart as 007.
On a flight with Mick Andreas, a stewardess brings drinks over.
Thank you again.
Mick checks the stewardess out and looks at Mark.
Whatever happened to that girl who worked for us? Didn't she move to California? What was her name? Tina?
Oh, Tina? Yeah, she's getting married.
What? Oh, my Tina's getting married.
She's getting married 2 or 3 weeks from now.
Oh. Well, that won't last long. She's a bit of a dodo head. She'll be back. Oh, I just hope she doesn't get pregnant and fuck up that body. Oh, she had a nice body. It'll ruin her tits. It will.
When polar bears hunt, they crouch down by a hole in the ice and wait for a seal to pop up. They keep one paw over their nose so that they blend in, because they've got those black noses. They blend in perfectly, if not for the nose.
So the question is, how do they know their noses are black? From looking at other polar bears? Do they see their reflections in the water and think, I'd be invisible if not for that? That seems like a lot of thinking for a bear.
Irvine, California, at a hotel.
Now remember to pat them down for wires before the meeting.
What?
Yeah, it's a new policy whenever we meet with the Japanese.
You're kidding, right? I didn't get a memo. Mick, I didn't get any kind of memo.
He's kidding. Relax, Mark.
They don't have the balls to mess with ADM.
When it's over, the board of directors at ADM is going to understand. They're going to see the position I was in and that I acted in everyone's best interest. I think that's the only conclusion they can reach. I mean, I'm the youngest division president they've ever had, and I speak a number of languages fluently.
In a hotel room, Brian and Bob watch the meeting room on a camera hidden inside a lamp. The Japanese businessmen sit. Mark puts his case on the meeting table.
Would you like some coffee or fruits?
Mark wanders over to the lamp and peers at it.
No. No. Mark. No. No.
I told him the camera was in the lamp.
Mark and Mick sit facing the Japanese men.
We already spent more than 1 year to get better Mark's situation in Lysen.
Well, we talked a little bit about it in Paris, but we need to come to an understanding on volume.
We have public shareholders.
You need to widen out a little bit. We need to show them working together.
Where we hope they would be. But now the question is, if the market grows, who gets it?
Brian zooms the camera out.
If Kiyo Hako, Miwan, and Chael Corporation each get 2,000 tons, we can divide up the rest. If we're going to have any stability at all.
We need some specific number.
Well, what would you be willing to accept? Isn't that really the question?
That ADM has already eaten all the growth.
As we have a lot more capacity that we're not using here. We could be growing 20,000 tons. Isn't that right, Mark?
Mark taps the tape recorder.
I'm going in.
Mark,
we gotta shut this down.
No, wait, hold on.
I need your input.
I think he's got it.
You're talking about Paris?
I can't understand.
A meeting in Paris.
We have a big board of directors.
They have a big board of directors. And shareholders. And they're all suffering together.
Right, well,
prices.
Where's the agreement? I mean, this is just a discussion.
Well, if there isn't an agreement, then what are they all doing there?
You're getting bogged down with the words. Just look at the actions. I mean, look what happens right here. Okay?
See what he's doing?
Yeah, I've looked, and I just see a chart with a bunch of words. I don't even see any numbers on that. I mean, I can't pinpoint an agreement per se.
Well, what more do you want? The guy is standing there dividing up the market plain as day.
It could just be a proposal. All the other companies weren't there. No one used the word agreement. I'm just telling you, from the perspective of the Justice Department, it is not enough.
We're having another meeting to work out some of the issues in Lysine. We got to divide up the volumes and set prices for some of the markets.
Europe again?
Europe is out. There's a price-fixing investigation in the cement manufacturing business there. It's got everybody spooked, so we're not going there.
Well, we can't videotape in Japan.
I know.
It's not going to help us.
Hawaii.
A series of golfers tee off. Lush mountains rise up beside a golf course in Hawaii. Mark and his team play golf with the Japanese executives. Brian and Bob crouch in a golf buggy watching. Brian takes photographs, and the distance is the ocean. The executives stand chatting beside tall palm trees. They travel across the course in golf buggies, as do Brian and Bob. The little vehicles process down a narrow track. March 1994. Mark walks into a cramped conference room with the execs. Brian watches on a monitor.
Will you call them, please?
I will. Make yourselves at home, please. I'll call. Do you have any suite, perhaps, that's maybe a bit more roomy for us? The Makua room, yes. Is that your biggest room? It sounds big. But it is. I see. And for the whole day? Okay, so there's nothing. So this is it. We're here. We're stuck. Okay, then we'll make do. Thank you.
Looks like we are here.
An exec sits right in front of the camera.
No. Oh, no.
Mark.
Indulge me for a second. I think if you might be more comfortable if I move the chair.
Mark moves the exec's seat away from the lamp.
Attaboy, Mark.
We have an old saying at ADM, and I think it applies here. It's better to have the elephants inside the tent pissing out than outside the tent pissing in.
Outside piss?
It's better to be part of the group.
What he's saying is that the customers are our enemy, the competitors are our friend. Oh. Which is why it's important that we have all the lysine producers involved, including the Shale Corporation.
I want to know why we have been excluded from association in the past. We need to be part of this.
Yeah.
How can we know that ADM will stay at agreed-upon levels?
Well, it would be our preference that we simply trust each other. And if we find out someone's been lying, we'll just hire some mafia figure to rub you out. That's just a little bit of levity, of course. But the point is that if we can't trust each other, ain't gonna work.
You are okay with that?
Yes. I am all right.
So, what are we saying?
What, do you have a language problem, Mark?
Then we are all...
agree.
Yes!
Brian, Bob, and two attorneys watch the tape.
Agreement. You heard it.
Congratulations.
Jury's gonna love that.
Well done, you did it.
Christ.
Congratulations.
How about this guy, Whitaker? What's his story?
What do you mean?
What's his agenda? The guy's making 350 grand a year, he's moving up the ladder, and he turns informer. When does that happen? Is money going up his nose? Some woman somewhere with a kid he's seeing on one of these business trips? What's his story?
Brian nods to Bob, who takes out a photo of Mark with his family. He shows it to attorneys James Muchnick and Robin Mann.
We wanted to show you this. That's a picture of Mark Whitaker and his family. We carry that with us all the time as a constant reminder that he is a real person with a real family depending on him.
The only reason we have any of these tapes is because of this man.
We want to know when the time comes, if he loses his job, will the government stand behind him?
At home.
Mark, are you an idiot?
Ginger, I'll be the only one left. Mick will be gone. Terry will be gone. Dwayne will be gone. I am a scientist, and I understand the business side. I'm the only one qualified to run ADM.
Mark, that's completely illogical. How can you possibly stay there when you've just taken down the company?
Because they need me to run the company. First of all, I'm extremely valuable to the company. And secondly, I did the right thing. Okay, the board is going to see that. The board's going to respect that.
It's the FBI, right? They're brainwashing you. It's Brian Shepard putting these ideas in your head to keep you working for him.
I'm telling you, they will make me the next president of ADM.
June 95.
So this is it, huh?
How's your family doing?
Oh, good. Yeah, they're going to be at an amusement park when you guys make your move.
Hey, whatever happens tomorrow, I think it's in your best interest to get an attorney who's going to represent your interests alone.
Want me to get an attorney now?
No, not now. The first thing that's going to happen is the company lawyers are going to come to all the executives with a list of attorneys for you to pick from. Now, you've got to understand, these attorneys are paid for by ADM. They don't represent you. Do not pick one of these attorneys. That's when you tell them that you have your own attorney.
You need to tell them that you're cooperating with the government.
It's perfectly reasonable for you to cooperate. Okay. Happens all the time.
I think I know a lawyer in Decatur.
No, the town is too small.
I'm sure you've met lawyers in your business dealings that could handle this.
Definitely.
Now, Mark, once it starts, it is going to be intense. They are going to know that somebody was on the inside working with us, and they're going to do almost anything to find out who it is.
But you guys still think I'm going to be okay at the company, right? I mean, you guys are going to, you know, take down the bad guys, but I'll be okay, right?
Well, I think it's important to remember what we talked about before, and what we're talking about right now is tell them you're cooperating with the government,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know, okay. I know, but I mean, I'm just asking if you guys think I'm going to be okay at the company.
I think the corporate culture is going to change a little bit for you.
I should say so. We should just focus on the raid.
Yes. Right?
Night. Five black cars with flashing lights on the dashboards roll up in a car park. A large group of agents in black suits walk up to the ADM corporate headquarters. The agents walk through the offices. Meanwhile, agents walk up to a number of large private houses. One agent carries a warrant. At ADM corporate headquarters, agents walk through the offices carrying computer hard drives. At a country club, Mark has dinner with Terry Wilson and a client.
Come on, Mark, you're making that up.
No, absolutely. Archer, the A in ADM, choked to death, 1947, on a chicken bone. Fact. Fact.
Well, they have it from Mark Whitaker, PhD. You know what the PhD stands for, don't you? Piled higher and deeper.
And let me guess, Daniels was killed by a pig and the cows got middling?
Chicken got Archer. Well, I'll tell you what, 50 years later, our deals with Tyson Farms, Foster Farms. What's the body count, I ask you?
Mr. Wilson, Mr. Whitaker, I'm Bob Herndon, and I'm an FBI agent. This is Special Agent Shepard.
What the heck is going on here?
Mr. Whitaker, would you please come with me?
I have no idea.
Mr. Whitaker, please. Could you come with us?
Excuse me, Steve. Do I need a lawyer?
Please. A lawyer? Terry.
Excuse me.
I saved a guy once at a restaurant in Hong Kong. He was choking on a bone, and I got him to throw himself over the back of his chair. He sends me cards on holidays, just to say thanks. Tells me what his kids are studying. He remembers me. You can take basic first aid courses from your local fire department.
You got a reason for embarrassing my colleague and I in front of a business prospect?
This is a serious matter. It involves an international investigation into price fixing. We have seen you and your boss, Mick Andreas, conspire with your competitors to fix prices. We have seen you tell others to do it. There will be indictments. Search warrants have been issued. And some people who you know and work with, will be going to jail.
Mark watches from a car.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at Terry and Bob. Oh, I wish I could be a fly on that wall.
Oh, hey, I was good, right? Didn't I seem really scared? Yeah, listen, I actually felt scared.
Remember what we told you, all right? Tell them that you're cooperating. First thing, and whatever you do, do not take one of their lawyers.
No. What'd you say to your guy?
Nothing. I told him nothing. Slow down.
Yeah, me neither. I said nothing.
He said that he had tapes that are price-fixing tapes. I mean, what the fuck is that?
Well, I bet they have the phones tapped. I always said that about them. It's phones.
I can't believe they would pull this shit on Dwayne Andreas.
Look, I get phone calls from time to time.
I know.
At Mick's house.
Oh, God.
We're going to the lawyers. I don't want to use the phones.
Wait, see? The phones.
They hit everybody. My dad, Schmidt, Randall.
Oh, fuck me.
No, they played me a tape of me. Some meeting with the fucking Japanese. I called the lawyers. We're going to go there.
Yeah? Well, they played a tape. How the fuck did they get a tape?
Listen, I really don't think they have that much. When you factor in everything that we've ever done for them, this will be a 10-year thing for the lawyers, then a deal, maybe a fine. That's all this is ever going to be. Trust me.
The FBI office in Decatur.
FBI.
You guys staying safe out there?
Awesome. Yeah, he's here. Yeah, I got Agent Temples for Attorney Muchnick.
Agent Temples calls Muchnick from his car.
This is James Muchnick.
Just interviewed an ADM employee, Kirk Schmidt.
Schmidt knew we were coming. Says he knew about the raid days ago.
He says Whitaker told him.
Muchnick looks grave.
Thanks.
Right, and he sees you sitting in the window.
Bob?
And he's telling
Brian?
Him about being a...
Can I talk to you guys for a second?
Bob and Brian drive into the hotel parking lot and meet Mark by his car.
That was amazing. You guys should have seen it. Oh, Terry was so scared, and Mick and the lawyers, they were pissed.
Yeah, that's super, Mark.
And the best part is, they thought you guys gave me the once-over.
They're like, Whitaker, you all right? And I'm going, yeah, I'm okay. Did you make a tape?
Yeah, I made a tape. I made a great one.
Really good. So, it's over then.
Mark, who did you tell?
What?
Who else did you tell about the raid?
Mark stares at Brian for a moment, then glances down.
Well, I had to tell my secretary. Guys, I'm the head of the bioproducts division. She has to know where to get in touch with me. I told her months ago. So all I said was, Liz, I'm doing some work with the FBI. I might be out of touch for a while. That's it. She had no idea about our case.
Their faces in shadow, Bob and Brian stare at Mark, waiting.
I'm pretty sure I've mentioned the name Kathy Doherty a time or two.
in my division. Kathy is a friend. She is a trusted ally. Man, I didn't want her to be scared.
Why did you do that, Mark? Why would you tell Doherty?
Because I didn't want her to be scared. I trust her. Guys, we can trust Kathy.
Who else? Don't jack us around, Mark.
Mark presses his lips together as he thinks.
Kirk Schmidt. And Schmitty. Look, I was afraid that he wouldn't say anything to you guys, that he'd clam up and not talk on account of he's loyal to me.
You could have ruined this entire operation.
Has anything gone wrong? Has anything gone wrong tonight?
Time out. Mark, you know what you did in our eyes was wrong. It was supposed to be a secret.
Look, we can get past this. But is there anything else that we need to know?
No. No, not that I can think of.
Brian's shoulders sag and he looks away, exasperated. He gestures emphatically.
Remember to tell them that you're getting your own lawyer.
I know about the lawyers, Brian!
Brian and Bob shift on their feet for a moment, then turn to go. Day. Mark walks through the open plan office at ADM. Investigators pass to and fro carrying filing boxes. Mark's eyes flit about as he heads to his office. Men and women stand at desks putting paperwork in boxes. Mick walks through the office with his distinguished grey-haired father, Duane Andreas, the head of ADM. They are followed by Terry and two lawyers. Mark stands in front of his desk, staring at the men as they enter his office.
Mark Whitaker, I'll be Daniel.
Pleasure to meet you. I'm representing ADM in this matter.
Okay.
This is John Dowd, a colleague of mine.
Good morning, John.
Duane has filled us in on your responsibilities here, so...
Aubrey prosecuted Lieutenant Calley after the My Lai massacre in Vietnam, this ought to be a cakewalk for him.
We were hoping you'd have some time to sit down and talk to John.
Sure, yeah.
Great. ADM's behind you on this, Mark. Dad and I want all the key people to know that we're going to be paying for all your legal fees.
That's right.
Oh, great. Great, thank you.
Then we'll let you fellas get acquainted, okay?
Okay.
Pudgy-faced John smiles.
How you holding up, Mark?
Good. Please, sit down.
Thanks.
The others leave, and Mark shuts the office door.
John, can I ask you something?
Sure, anything.
If I say something to you, are you allowed to say anything to Mick and Duane?
With a blank look, John glances round. Mark proceeds to talk to him animatedly. As he does so, he closes the blinds in his office windows. Night. Mark's still standing talking to John. Mick's perched on the edge of his desk eating. Terry and Aubrey sit reviewing documents.
Here we go.
Mick stands up as Mark and John walk in. John and Mark stand facing Mick, Terry, and Aubrey.
I need to tell you I'm going to be cooperating with the FBI. They have hundreds of tapes. They know all about lysine. And John here agrees with me. I should probably be getting another lawyer.
Oh, no question about it.
Nodding, Mark surveys the group. He steps forward and shakes Mick's hand.
I just want to say sorry for everything that's happened.
Sorry?
Mark leaves.
What's that?
At the movies.
It feels good to talk, to clear the air. You get to be like a balloon after a while, a balloon looking for a pin to bump into and relieve the pressure. You could get sick from keeping it inside and get a tumor or something. I didn't ask for that. I have a friend from school who has a law practice, and he's always telling me how they can't talk about their cases, like in the firm. You can tell them anything, and they have to keep it to themselves, or they get in a lot of trouble. They're boxed. That's what they say. Boxed.
So there wasn't a saboteur in the beginning at all? You made that up?
Well, maybe there was. I mean, there could have been.
Okay.
I mean, ADM steals the technology of the Japanese, so I wouldn't put it past the Japanese to do the same thing to us. But once I told the FBI that I'd made that part up, they said I had very little choice but to be a cooperating witness.
And you began making tapes. How many tapes did you make?
There are over 200 tapes.
Ooh.
There are so many really nice people in the world. People who want to help out. Good neighbors.
good listeners? Like when they have these floods out on the Mississippi and people lose everything and are sleeping in a school gym, someone always shows up with a warm coat for the old people and a homemade pot roast. That's why Ginger and I bought that girl in town a special computer after she had the spine injury. That kind of thing really makes a difference. Jim here strikes me as that kind of guy. You can tell he's the 1 in 100 guy who, when you come into the emergency room, you thank your lucky stars that it's his watch.
These illegal campaign contributions, whatever we're talking about. And so then I'd come back. 2 nights a week or so, Brian and Bob and I'd get together, and we'd work it. We'd build the investigation, get everything we needed, gather up all the information. Then we went to DOJ, briefed those lawyers, and, you know, before you knew it, we were hitting ADM, raiding the place, taking it down.
And for how long did you do this, work as an informant?
2.5 years. 2.5 years. You know, and I always thought there'd still be a place for me at ADM when this whole thing was over. I still have a lot of friends there. A lot of friends.
Mark's with Chicago lawyers Jim Epstein and Bob Zaidman.
Hey, Mark, it's very important to your case you not discuss this with anyone else, okay?
Okay.
These people you work with, your friends, they could end up being witnesses. So Bob and I are the only people I want you to talk to about this from now on, right? And I want you to know that you can tell us anything.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, they kept coming to the house, and they only had ADM's side of the story.
Did you talk to the Wall Street Journal, Mark? I mean, what did you say? It's real important that you not talk to the press.
Me? I told them I had no comment. But it didn't matter. They had the story anyway. They already had it. Did you see my stipple portrait? Pretty good.
Below an article in the Wall Street Journal is a black and white stipple portrait of Mark. Sitting on a subway train, Jim Epstein sees the article and looks up with a troubled expression. Mark walks up to a group of journalists gathered in his driveway.
I appreciate any comment you can make on the allegations on the TV so far.
Listen, a quick comment on what you have to say.
I came out to tell you that I'm not allowed to talk to the press at this time.
At least any comment on the effects of your actions on ADM's declining stock prices?
What's been the reaction of your friends and coworkers being taped without their knowledge?
Well, I'm a person of interest in an ongoing investigation.
Do you believe you and your family can safely stay in Decatur?
Sorry.
Has the government made arrangements to move you?
Ginger sits with Bob and Brian.
You're still getting the threatening phone calls. And I know for a fact that Dwayne and Terry have been telling people that he wasn't a good worker and that he can't be trusted.
We told Mark. We told him that he had to expect the unexpected, that he might be attacked, that he wasn't going to win any popularity contest for this.
Well, he just mopes around here all day, watching the news, looking for a glimpse of himself. Or he's calling someone from ADM, trying to get the latest gossip.
Maybe you guys should get out of town until the hearings start.
He's got to stop talking to people.
In a motel room, Mark meets a reporter.
Well, the FBI never forced me to cooperate.
I don't know Brian Shepard the truth. I mean, I gave Brian Shepard 2.5 years of my life, and now I have legal bills to show for it. And I'm the good guy in all this, the guy who took on ADM. Is Brian Shepard going to lose his job for that? His standard of living? I've gone to the local junior high school on career day and talked to the kids about biochemistry and the kind of career opportunities available. Can Brian Shepard and Bob Herndon say that? I'm the white hat. I did enough for Brian Shepard. Who's going to take care of me? Who picks the kids up for swimming lessons? Who has a plaque in the high school for the Mark Whitaker Environmental Award? Where are your friends when it's dump on Mark Whitaker? Where's the pot roast and the warm coat?
Mark has his photo taken with a sheet as the backdrop. August 1995. In the ADM offices, Scott Roberts, an attorney, looks through stacks of invoices. Roberts looks at a copy of a check for $3 million made out to a Swedish company, ABP International. He then finds a copy of a document with the same signature on it. He holds the two copies up to a window to compare them. The signatures are identical. He takes the documents to Dwayne, Aubrey, and Mick.
You can see where he pasted it.
He's a fucking forger.
Mark drives along a quiet freeway. He answers his car phone.
Mark Whitaker.
Hello, Mark. It's Aubrey Daniel. Listen, I'm here in Mick Andrea's office, and we were wondering, does the name Lennart Thorstensen mean anything to you?
What about Nordkron Kemi? Does that ring a bell?
Mark stops the car.
Well, I'll have someone get back to you on that.
Oh, sure. You do that. He's going to call us back.
Sure.
Bob, Brian, and Mark walk into a Chinese restaurant. They sit in a booth beneath orange paper lanterns and eat.
My lawyer's telling me not to talk to you guys, but there's something I've been wanting to talk to you about for a while.
Right? Don't tell us anything. You have a lawyer now, and it's not like it was before.
We are not asking you.
Okay, what if I just put out some hypotheticals? And, you know, I'll talk about certain financial situations, and you guys can tell me if they're wrong or how serious they might be. Okay, for instance, what if a company gave an executive a car, you know, a corporate car, and instead of driving that to work, he drove his personal car and he gave the company car to his daughter? Would that be a problem?
Bob and Brian smile.
That's it? That's the hypothetical.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. What if it was a corporate plane and the executive was using that for personal use?
Basically the same thing.
Maybe some IRS issues, but...
Okay.
Mark holds out his hands.
What if it was standard practice at ADM for executives to regularly accept kickbacks in cash?
Brian and Bob gawp at Mark.
How much money are we talking about, Mark?
Well, Brian, hypothetically, $500,000.
How much?
It's the way things are done there, okay? I'm not the only one who was doing it. Everybody's doing it.
When did this start, Mark?
December 1991.
Brian and Bob look anxious.
You, how are you paid?
Paid by check. Checks deposited in various accounts and always under the amount of $10,000.
And did any of these checks come in?
Brian narrows his eyes.
After we met?
Maybe.
Aubrey displays a document in front of several lawyers, including Muchnick and Robin Mann.
$2.5 million deposited into an account in Switzerland while Mark Whitaker was there on ADM business. And we have sworn testimony from Mr. Lennart Thorstensen of the ABP Corporation that he has never seen this contract and that his signature is forged. Neither he nor his company have ever received this check. Now, it is clear to us that Mark Whitaker, driven by his own boundless ambition to take over ADM, has attempted to frame his superiors in a price-fixing conspiracy of his own invention. His cooperation with the government, merely a smokescreen to hide his lying and cheating and stealing. We have additional information that we are willing to share with Attorney General Reno, that the money has since been moved to Grand Cayman, with the full knowledge and complicity of Whitaker's FBI partners.
At the FBI offices...
What are they accusing me of? I want the specifics. Are they saying I'm in cahoots with the guy?
Paragraph 8 in our agreement with Whitaker states that his actions are directly attributable to the FBI and the United States government.
They're saying he stole $2.5 million while we were running him.
But how could we know what he was doing? He came to us.
The question they're asking isn't how could we know. It's why didn't we know?
No, the question is, were they price fixing?
The investigation has shifted from ADM to Whitaker.
Of course. ADM decides Whitaker's a thief as soon as they find out he's working for us.
Yeah, and who's counting the money over there if they can just lose $2.5 million for a few years and then find it in a few hours?
We gotta call Mark.
I don't want you to do that.
We're taking you off.
Brian and Bob stop in their tracks.
That's it? We're done? I thought the FBI never hung a witness out to dry.
He's not a witness anymore. He's a target.
I only kept $1.5 million. A million and a half. I mean, Mick knew about it. He knows these things went on. Who do you think taught me how to do it?
You can't bullshit these people, Mark. Who knows what they know? If we're going to go in there, we got to go in there with the whole story. Because the way it gets bad for you is if you tell them you're confessing and you don't. Then you're sorely screwed.
This is it. What you have in front of you, that is it.
I found every bank statement, every record. Why would I hide anything from you guys? This is it.
Mark's lawyers, Jim Epstein and Bob Zaidman, sit in front of a table covered in paperwork. Mark, Jim and Bob walk past a modern office block and a tall steel sculpture. They stand waiting for an elevator. Mark glances between the elevator and short, bearded Bob.
Listen, I haven't been telling you guys the whole truth, but I'm going to clear that up in there today.
What?
They get into the elevator.
No, I want to tell.
A meeting with Robin Mann.
Mr. Whitaker's conduct constitutes a breach of his agreement with the U.S. government. He is no longer a cooperating witness.
This is outrageous. My client has given you years of his life. I mean, clearly he made mistakes, but he made your case.
We are not here to discuss the case against ADM.
Mr. Whitaker, my name is Ed Herbst, and I am with the FBI's Economic Crimes Unit. This is Mary Spearing and Don McKay from the Department of Justice Fraud Division. And we were wondering if you could tell us when your criminal conduct at ADM began.
In early 1992, I was taught how things are done there by Mick Andreas, who showed me how to use embezzlements and kickbacks in order to make money tax-free.
Okay, my client has voluntarily come in and discussed.
I'm aware that the fraud that I perpetrated was wrong, and I accept responsibility.
But how did you receive the money?
By check. They would deposit the check to my account in Decatur.
They paid kickbacks in checks? What company would pay kickbacks in checks? Come on.
Well, I don't remember the name of the company. It was like Agra Consulting and Trading, something like that.
You don't remember the name of the company that paid you checks?
It's hard to remember for me right now. I have some things going on in my life,
hey,
you haven't been reading the papers.
Hey, we're coming to you guys. We're cooperating here. We're going to get the money back.
I think this might help your memory.
Herbst places an open folder in front of Mark.
Now, where did we get those?
These are ADM documents showing forging of signatures.
Mark claps.
Didn't these people see the firm or read the book?
Congratulations.
It's all there. Everything they did to me, they did to Tom Cruise. I'm not the one they should be mad at.
We can't see you anymore. And if you call us and start to talk about the case, we'll have to hang up.
You can talk to us about your feelings, but that's it.
Bob and Brian sit with Mark and Ginger.
Mark, please understand. It's not what we want. We got no choice here.
You know, the thing of it is, all of my anger, all of my frustration stems from my work with you guys. And all this crap in the paper. And my kids are seeing this. And it's all just dump on Mark Whitaker.
Remember, Mark, we told you it would be impossible to predict what would happen when the case went public.
And you never told us about the $5 million you took.
I don't see what that has to do with the price fixing.
He worked for you for 2.5 years. He risked his career, his home. And now you just turn your back on him and leave us out here.
Miss Ginger.
The reason we came here today is because we're concerned about your and Mark's well-being.
It's important you tell the people in Washington everything tomorrow. 100%.
You would have nothing without him. And you know it. He's just been used by the government and then thrown away because it's a lot easier to go after Mark Whitaker than anyone named Andreas.
Mark sits on his bed staring at a family photograph.
We took the kids 1 year to the Renaissance Festival in Indiana. You get to be the White Knight. The kids get to ride a horse and joust against the forces of darkness with a helmet on. And the White Knight always wins. The forces of darkness fall onto an old mattress. Someone plays a lute and plays a song from medieval times. The day we went, it was maybe 90 degrees out, and the heat and humidity index, I can't even remember what the radio said. We were next in line, and the mare collapsed, went down in a heap. Ginger was eating ye old drumstick, and she dropped it in the dirt. The kids were crying, and I remember this farmer saying he had a gun in his truck. Just like that. From the White Knight to a gun in the truck. They had everyone turn their backs before they put the animal down, but even if you couldn't see, you could still hear. How do you get that back? How does that get to be fair?
Mark has a brain scan.
Well, he just kept buying things. We had 8 cars. Three of them we never even used.
And how else has he changed?
I was always the one with the temper. And Corky was the happy one. But that's changed, too.
There's one in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the accounts in Switzerland, Grand Cayman.
Right, right.
Other things. There's a lawyer in New York who's got $1 million of mine.
Have you told your attorney the truth about all these accounts?
No, I don't need to tell.
Mark, you need to tell your attorney about these accounts.
The assets were obtained legally. I don't even know if I can trust him.
Mark, say when your family ever been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, you know, manic depressive?
Mark's with the psychiatrist, Miller, in his office.
I have an aunt that they used to say that about.
Huh?
In terms of my parents, I can't be sure. My parents died in an automobile accident when I was 6.
Oh.
And I was adopted by a wealthy man in Ohio. He owned amusement parks.
Uh-huh.
I caught a big break there. Big break.
A meeting.
So my client is here to cooperate fully. Agent D'Angelo, if you have any questions.
This is your chance to put everything on the table. This is your chance to redeem yourself. But if you're not going to be completely honest, just stop talking now.
I understand that. I just want to tell you I feel bad. I'm so sorry. The last time we spoke, I was under a great deal of stress, and I said some things that weren't true. I want to clear that up. The first kickback was in 1992. Mick knew all about it. He told me there were going to be plenty of opportunities to take kickbacks on some of the contracts coming out of Asia and Europe. There were ADM contracts.
Is there anyone else involved?
Another meeting.
So, Mr. Richter, we have money leaving your account here, and here, and here. And it's going into Whitaker's account. His wife Ginger's account, and this is going to Whitaker's parents' account.
Like I said, those are loans.
Uh-huh.
He had me set up a company, Nordkron Chemi, and just, like, issue these fake invoices to ADM. You know, and there was a bank account in Hamburg. And... So I'm going to check for, like, 200 grand, and most of it will go back to Mark.
Okay, look, we know you're looking out for your friend Mark, but your story doesn't seem true.
Richter smiles and throws out his hands.
You're right, it's not true. All the money went to Mark.
When did it start?
Mark told me about this Nigerian thing he got in the mail.
You know about these schemes with the Nigerian lettuce?
419 fraud. Yeah, we see it every day. You get a letter from some official in Nigeria or somewhere asking for a few grand to help move millions. They promise you a percentage of the money. Yeah?
Exactly, a percentage. You ever wonder who was dumb enough to fall for something like that?
Lawyer Sheldon Zenner looks at his client, Sid Hulse.
This is really embarrassing.
D'Angelo leans to Mark.
So how much money would you say you made from your illegal activities?
$7.7 million. But like I said, Mick knew all about that. You know, he endorsed that kind of behavior.
So not five, but 7.7?
7.7. Jim, we all understand special consideration here, but we've got your guy on, and these are cases we know we can convict. 45 counts of wire fraud and money laundering and tax evasion. So explain to us, where is the wiggle room?
Now, come on, I'm not stupid. Mark committed a crime. He stole $9 million. That's pretty indefensible. But these guys at ADM, they stole hundreds of millions of dollars from innocent people all around the world. Mark showed you that four white guys in suits getting together in the middle of the day, that's not a business meeting, it's a crime scene. And not only did he tell you about it, he got the evidence to prove it. When agents go undercover for the FBI, they get trained for the stresses of living a secret life. We hear this all the time from you guys, how easy it is for a trained agent to crack. I mean, here's Mark, a civilian with no training. But you guys just shove him in there. You tell him to go for it, without any training to make sure he doesn't crack under pressure.
Sitting in his car, Mark yanks the sleeve of his brown jacket and it rips at the seam. He then messes up his hair. He drives home, leaps out of the car, and limps to the house, clutching his leg.
Baby! Ginger! Ginger!
Ginger holds her hands to her face in shock.
Kidnapped me! They killed me in a car. They drove me around for 20 minutes. They wouldn't let me out.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah, my leg. Ah, it's all cramped. Ah.
Who did this? Who took you?
It's obvious. I mean, look at my jacket. These people mean business.
No. I was abducted. I was thrown into the back of a
light brown Dodge Dynasty by two thugs and driven around in a 20-minute joyride. And basically, I was told, you know, forget everything that isn't on tape, and you can forget about bringing it up in a courtroom or for the media.
Did the men identify themselves?
I think we know who sent them.
And they sawed the locks off the door, like mafia thugs.
Yeah, on each side, so I was trapped.
You were trapped? You couldn't roll down the window?
No.
Where was the FBI in all of this?
Well, I think people have to realize that the FBI did the same thing. I mean, they locked my husband in an investigation, and they drove our family around for 3 years.
3 to 5 years?
Yes.
In jail? But ADM's the bad guys.
Everywhere we go, it's the same story. It's just dump on Mark Whitaker.
All right, you gotta focus here. You stole $9 million, and then you lied about it. Maybe in your head you're one of the good guys, but to them you're a guy who stole a lot of money, and then you lied about it.
You know, Ginger and I have been talking, and we'd like to file a lawsuit against Brian Shepard and the United States government.
Oh, my God. For what, Mark?
He hit me with a briefcase.
Jim stares at Mark incredulously.
Come on. And he told me to destroy tapes that didn't help the case. Now, why would Brian Shepard do that? Maybe the question you should be asking yourself is, what is Brian Shepard hiding?
All right. I'm telling you, okay? Take the plea.
Mark shakes his head and smiles to himself.
Thanks, Jim. But we're going to go a different way.
Ravenna, Ohio. A middle-aged lady's pruning roses.
Evelyn!
What?
There's a reporter on the phone from the Washington Post. Ask some questions about Corky.
A reporter.
Evelyn goes into the house to take the call.
This is Evelyn Whitaker. What do you mean adopted? Well, as his mother, I can assure you that my husband and I were not killed in a car accident, and Mark was not adopted by wealthy people.
She hangs up and turns to her husband, frowning.
Mark's been telling people that you and I were killed in a car accident and he was adopted by rich people. What do you make of that?
He pushes his specs up on his nose and frowns.
That's kind of weird.
Mark stares at a letter.
I read this study in Time magazine when I was at Cornell, which is an Ivy League school, and there were a lot of people who never believed, including my mother, that I would make it to an Ivy League school. Maybe just Ginger, who I met in marching band in the eighth grade. And the study said that people had nice, sympathetic feelings about people who were adopted and treated them better. So I made up this adoption story, and people did treat me better. And when I got a job, one of my professors told the people at Ralston Purina that I was this amazing guy that had accomplished all of this in spite of being adopted. And so it was really other people who spread the story, not me. Although I admit it was wrong to start it and everything, it was other people who kept it going, even the people at ADM. My new lawyer sees that.
Bill Walker.
This all goes back many years. Before most of us were born, it's bigger than any of us. And it's ongoing. And I know you're skeptical, but I've seen it. My client, Mark Whitaker, has shown it to me. And maybe I am just a personal injury lawyer from Taylorville, Nowhere, Illinois. But I tell you, I know the identity of the master puppeteer.
Herbst, Spearing, and Spratling share a look.
The who?
The master puppeteer. And it's not who you're thinking. Mark has tapes. Tapes that the government doesn't want us to hear.
tapes that outline the actions of Brian Shepherd, who hit Mark Whitaker with the briefcase while Mark was cooperating with the government. My client has a letter from his psychiatrist outlining and confirming the cruelty perpetrated on him by Brian Shepherd. A letter from his psychiatrist, clearly exonerating my client from all wrongdoing.
Mark reads the letter he doctored to Brian.
It is obvious that the FBI made some grand mistakes in how they handled and treated you. There's a phrase of interest, grand mistakes, coming from a doctor. When one discusses suicide, this is a red flag. When one discusses how they will do it, then it is very, very serious.
Mark.
I also feel that the FBI requiring you to do unethical conduct against ADM was another blunder that forced you into a bipolar situation. They should have known better and noted that a medical problem exists. From a medical point of view, this is attempted murder that the FBI did to you. From a legal point of view, your lawyer needs to decide what to do and what the terminology is. I'll support you in whatever you need. You and your family have been through too much turmoil working with the government. They should know better. That's Dr. Miller.
I read the letter, Mark. The problem with the letter is, it's a lie.
What are you talking about, Brian? It's on his letterhead. It's his signature. What are you talking about?
The area code, Mark. In the letterhead, area code 847. This letter was written in November 1995. That area code didn't exist then.
Okay, but they announced that the change was coming. I even remember that. People order their stationery early.
I thought about that. So I asked the phone company.
Brian hands Mark a document.
This is the press release announcing the new 847 area code. It's dated 6 days after your letter was written. Miller could not have known about it.
Mark stares at the press release and thinks.
Ron Hankoff from Fortune called Dr. Miller, and Miller confirmed the letter.
If you talk to Hankoff...
Ginger holds her hands in front of her face.
Ron Hankoff from Fortune magazine verified the letter with Dr. Miller.
I talked to Dr. Miller, Mark.
You can't... That's
a violation of my doctor-patient confidentiality.
That's a total violation of my doctor-patient confidentiality. You can't call Miller...
Doctor-patient confidentiality doesn't apply to forgeries.
Then why did Fortune magazine run the story? Why would Ron Hankoff for Fortune magazine put it in a cover story?
Stop it, Mark.
Hank, if you talk to Hankoff...
You need to stop doing this to yourself.
Why do you keep lying?
Mark presses his lips together, then opens his mouth, about to speak.
Well, I think maybe I should go back to the hospital.
October 1997. In court, Mark sits next to Bill Walker. Ginger sits watching.
Case 97-2001, United States of America versus Mark Whitaker.
You have a right to make a statement if you wish.
Mark stands confidently.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to get up here and say a few words.
He looks round, smiling.
Wow. What a ride. Been a long 5 years. A lot of memories. I really want to apologize to a lot of people in this room and a lot of people who aren't in this room for my actions. I'm on medication now, so I'm seeing things a lot more clearly. And I just really want to... I realize I hurt a lot of people, and so I want to say I'm so, so sorry. I greatly apologize. And accept responsibility for my actions. That's it. Thank you.
Mark sits. The judge addresses the court.
To observe that Mr. Whitaker is not the usual felon is a gross understatement. He's well-educated, as a loving wife and family, is well-respected in the community. It's not inconceivable that in due course he could have been CEO of Archer Daniels Midland. However, this court can find no clear connection between Mr. Whitaker's bipolar disorder and the 45 counts of criminal misconduct he's been charged with, just garden variety greed. It's very difficult to tell when Mr. Whitaker's telling the truth.
October 2002, in prison.
I don't think what happened is fair when you look at me compared to Mick and Terry. I mean, if you go and hold up your local grocery store, you get maybe 5 years in prison. Mick and Terry held up every grocery store in the world, and they got 3. So you tell me how it makes sense that I get 9. And I think you should consider that, Mr. President, when reviewing this request for pardon. I'd also like to take this opportunity to apologize on behalf of myself and my wife, Ginger, to Special Agent Brian Shepard. He never hit me with a briefcase or told me to destroy tapes. The idea to sue him came from someone inside ADM. I shouldn't have listened. I don't even remember who it was.
He's filmed.
While I was there at ADM, I lived so many lives. I didn't really know who I was. And I know today more who I am and what I really want out of life. I've completed 3 postgraduate degrees while in detention. A JD, which is, of course, a law degree. Another advanced degree in the psychology of jury selection. I sleep better here in prison than I have in years. My wife, Ginger, has forgiven me. She actually believes that this incident with ADM brought us closer together in a marriage of over 20 years. And I hope you'll allow me to leave here so that I can rejoin that life with my family, my 3 kids, 2 of whom are adopted. Especially in light of the fact that, in large part because of my testimony, the United States government has to date been able to collect over $1 billion in price-fixing fines from big businesses. So that's it. Thanks.
Bob watches through a screen as the cameraman switches off the camera. Mark, now balding, sits in the interview room wearing a prison uniform. Bob walks in, smiling.
Good luck with the pardon, Mark.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for helping me remember everything. I really appreciate it. I wish Brian could have come.
Well, he's still pretty angry.
Yeah. Well, tell him I'm real sorry. Will you do that?
Sure, Mark.
You know, the irony is, if I hadn't gone undercover, I never would have stole the $11.5 million. You know, it was my way out. This is my severance. You know, what else was I going to do? I had to write my own severance.
Work detail.
See you, Bob.
$11.5 million?
What?
I thought it was 9.5.
What did I say?
You said 11.5. You do know that the people at 8 a.m. think you
were the mole. That you planted the virus, then made it go away.
The 11.5 is with the interest.
Mark, is it 9.5 or 11.5?
I don't know, Bob. You tell me.
Trust me. There's an art. An investigation by the FBI, the IRS, and ADM determined that all disputed funds were accounted for. And if they call you. Whitaker ultimately admitted that the embezzlement idea was his alone. ADM paid over $500 million in civil settlements and government penalties. They are currently under new management. Mick Andreas and Terry Wilson served 3 years in prison. They were released in 2002. Edgefield, South Carolina, December 2006. Ginger stands waiting outside the prison. Mark walks out, dressed casually. Ginger smiles. They kiss and hug each other tightly. Mark buries his head in her shoulder. They walk off, hand in hand, past a long, low colonnade, surrounded by golden autumn trees. Mark stands in an office, wearing a smart suit. Mark Whitaker is currently COO and President of Operations of Cypress Systems, Inc. He has not been granted a presidential pardon. Lady Luck